This is Bible doctrine class. This is not the general Bible survey class. If you're looking for the general Bible study class, you're in the wrong class. This is Bible doctrine. If you find you're in the wrong class, we'll give you just a second here to quietly excuse yourself. This is Bible doctrines. Today we will be looking at various doctrines. The first one here for today will be on election. This is a doctrine for the mature believer. This is getting into doctrine or the meat of the Word, what the Word actually comes down and teaches, and we'll be discussing church doctrine. These doctrines often are not popular. Some of these doctrines are misunderstood and twisted. But basically what we're going to try to do today in today's class is to take God's Word and understand it the very best we can. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to guide our minds and thoughts and our words as we discuss these things. We'll go over the lesson, and afterwards we'll have a discussion time. Well, we'll have questions and answers, and well, we might have questions. I don't know if we'll have answers or not. anyways, this is Bible doctrine. Today's topic is election. Election is misunderstood often in many different churches because different churches define it in different ways. Sometimes it is a personal definition. We're going to take a definition that comes out of Vine's New Testament Greek Dictionary. It's a standard text. Election is found used twice here in two different ways. The first one is as an adjective. Then the second way it can be used in the New Testament is noun. The adjective usage, let's see here, eklektos, not very good at Greek pronunciations, but anyways, I've studied Greek, but I've met people from Greece, and it seems like it's similar, but not quite the same. Anyways, the literal word for ek is to out, and letos is to gather. Election signifies to pick out, chosen, and is used of A, Christ, found in Luke chapter 23, verse 35, and B is used of angels in 1 Timothy 5:21, and C is used of believers, both Jews or Gentiles, Matthew chapter 24, verse 22, verse 24, and Colossians 3:12. Now, there's other verses, but these are the verses that we'll just touch on right now. So these verses show election used as an adjective. It is interesting to note that the C, believers, doesn't just speak of Jews as a group or Gentiles as a group, but as individuals. Usage B, noun usage, which is eklog, denotes a picking out or a selection, found in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Now, this is of individuals, as in Romans chapter 9, verse 11. The individuals found there are Jacob and Esau. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, refers to individuals who make up the church. Now, I'm going to ask some questions and do some answers here. We're just going to have a question-answer section. First question is, why study election? Well, I'll give you all a chance to ask your questions here after the lesson here. Why study election? Well, this is a doctrine that is often neglected in churches because it is misunderstood and can be viewed as controversial and or divisive. If you ever want to divide a church, just bring in election. A lot of times, because of the misunderstanding and strong feelings, it can divide a church. So we need to be careful how we use this. But we shouldn't be singling out any particular doctrine to eliminate out of our Bible. It is a doctrine found in the Bible, so we need to study it. We should study it to make our understanding of it correct. Since it is in the Bible, it is there for a reason. Most evangelicalism found today in America is some form of Wesleyan Methodism. Now, Wesleyan Methodism has an aversion to biblical election. So, therefore, most churches do not teach biblical election. Now, proof of election. We here are going to make two examples of election does actually exist. The first proof that election exists is, number one, Israel. Israel was chosen of God way back in Genesis and has survived these centuries, these thousands of years. The second proof that election exists is of course, the church. Each believer here today is electing of God. God has chosen us unto salvation. Now, the origin of election is that election must come from God. No one, like politicians, no one elects themselves. No one can save themselves. It must be done for you. Just like no one can crucify oneself or to redeem oneself, election must occur through a higher power. Now, why must someone else pick us to save us? Well, the answer to that question is we are dead in our trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and are powerless as a dead man to commend ourselves to God. Well, if that's all true, when did this choosing take place? According to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. That's a very good verse to look at. It's rather interesting. That reveals that individual names, not just groups of people, were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, or in other words, before creation. No names are added after that, but each are saved in due time, according to His plan. In other words, the popular gospel song, "There is a new name written down in glory in His mind," that is actually theologically incorrect. It's a good song, it's a nice song, sung it myself, that is actually theologically incorrect. And not all songs found in the Christian hymn book are 100% accurate, but most do carry some truth to them. So there are no names added after the foundation of the world, but each are saved in due time, in due season, according to his providence, by His plan. Now, the question might come up is, who does the choosing? Well, the answer actually is God and God alone, according to John chapter 15, verse 16. The "for whom God did foreknow," found in Romans chapter 8, 28, and in the following verses, surrounding verses, "for whom He did foreknow" does not point to God foreknowing that anyone would have faith or what anyone would do. God does not foreknow and anticipate one's faith. God's foreknowledge is His pre-loving us before He set the worlds in motion. His love is set upon His Son and us in Him. God did not take a telescope and look through down through time and see that anyone would pick Him. God did not sit around and wring His hands worrying about whether anybody was going to love Him or not. God did not send His Son to die on the cross for any hypothetical salvation. If God would have done that, He would have been severely disappointed, because all choose sin. Now, John 3:16 is to be understood in the light of His pre-love. 2 Peter 3:9 is often misunderstood, but we need to understand it by its context. 2 Peter 3:9 was written to the believing church. 2 Peter 3:9 is a promise of God's faithfulness, that He will not lose a single one. God is not willing that any one of His loved ones perish. And this is why He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Now, God does the deciding for us out of love. The reality of the situation is, God is not obligated to do this. God doesn't have to do anything because He is God. Some people seem to think that how salvation is brought about is that, well, God casts a vote in our favor whenever He sent His Son to die on the cross, making salvation only possible. God cast His vote for us. Then, according to this theory, the devil casts his vote against us. And then finally it comes to us, and we cast the deciding vote. Well, this is a popular theory, except when the voting went on, which was before the foundation of the earth, none of us except God Himself were there to do any voting. God made the decision to save us before the devil existed. Now, some people seem to think that, and there are ones who actually teach election, but also teach that reprobation is a direct result and parallel doctrine to election. However, reprobation is not a parallel direct action of God. Since salvation originates in God and sin does not. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Reprobation is not a parallel direct action of God, since salvation originates in God and sin does not. God is not the author of sin. There is no church anywhere that teaches God as the author of sin. Therefore, double predestination, which is a doctrine that teaches that God predestines those to go to heaven, and God also predestines people to go to hell, that is actually inaccurate. Reprobation is not a parallel direct action of God. In election, belief as a gift of God is the fruit of the decree of life. But with regard to rejection, sin and unbelief are not a result of God's decree, nor of His gift. They originate within us. We are responsible. Now, in all this, He has promised not to turn away a single soul who earnestly seeks Him. So if we believe in election, then why bother to preach the gospel if God is going to save anybody anyway? Well, God has chose the foolishness of preaching to call His elect unto Himself. We are to go out in the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, because we do not know who all is election, who are elect and who are not. So therefore we are bound by His word and faithfulness to it to proclaim the gospel irregardless to who they are, from whatever nation, kindred, or tribe. I believe that will just about conclude our lesson on election. Now, after this, we are going to open it up for question and answers and discussion here in the classroom. But we will do that since y'all in the back won't be able to be heard on the microphone or anything. We will just let it go at that and close this lesson here at this point. Thank you very much.